Okay. Well, I wanted to, if you weren't here last Sunday, I want to remind you that it was last Sunday that we looked at this post-resurrection story of Jesus, who mysteriously revealed himself in a casual conversation with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And as Jesus walked with them along the road, they failed to recognize that Jesus was, in fact, the very one they were talking about. They failed to recognize that until he sat down with them and broke the bread. And then suddenly, they see with their eyes that Jesus was with them all the time. So that's what we talked about last Sunday, and this Sunday is a similar story, although it's in the form of a parable. And we are again reminded that Jesus is right in front of our eyes, and we just fail to see him. So there's a theme running over from last Sunday to this. The parable stands as both an instruction and, of course, a warning. And it's always with a bit of trepidation that a preacher preaches on a parable like this, because it kind of ends on a rather dire note. This important message, when looking at the world through the eyes of faith, Jesus is a lot closer than we can ever imagine. That is the message I want us to kind of hold on to this morning. Now, I know many of you have heard sermons over the years of this famous parable of the sheep and goats, right? This isn't the first time you've heard this story, not most of you. And now no doubt many preachers have expounded on the different qualities of these two parabolic animals, sheep and goats. Sheep good, goats bad. I'm not a farmer, so I don't know. I just don't have a lot of experience with these animals. I know most goats that I've met personally. They seem kind of interactive and I'm a bit playful. I also understand that they are exasperatingly strong-willed and difficult to control. Anybody grow sheep? Been around sheep? What are they like? They're what? Oh. Well, what about goats? You had any experience with goats? What's that? Yay, goats. Now, I don't quite understand the nuances of these two animals, but sheep, I am told, I consulted with Ivan about this, because he raises sheep. He says that, in fact, they're smart in at least one area. They know the master's voice. He said they're really good at that. So they're at least smart in that department. I don't know about anything else, because I've always heard they weren't that bright. But for all practical purposes, as far as I'm going with this sermon this morning, the parable could be about moths versus butterflies or chipmunks versus squirrels. Similar animals, yet different in temperament and nature. I'm not so interested in comparing and contrasting these two different but similar animals. I want to speak of some spiritual principles this parable suggests in ways perhaps are refreshing or you hadn't considered before. One of my favorite books is a book called Brother Eagle, Sister Sky. And it takes a speech purportedly written by Chief Seattle 150 years ago before turning over Indian lands to the government. It's a beautiful speech. You might Google it sometime or borrow my book. It's a speech, among other things, about that is a warning and a reminder. He says at one point in this speech, he says, "This we know, all things are connected like the blood that unites us. We do not weave the web of life, we are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves." Now this reality is becoming, I think, more and more relevant and apparent to us in this complex and interrelated world that we live in. And this reality, it's also becoming more and more apparent as the world, as global environmental concerns are literally changing at speeds we cannot adapt to or control as long as we deny the reality that we are indeed connected to the whole of our global environmental systems. And no, this is not a sermon, by the way, on the environment, though such a topic is extremely timely and worthy of our attention. This is a sermon on interconnection. This parable of the noticing or not noticing of Jesus in the least of these is a parable about connecting and seeing through the lens of faith. This is a parable that suggests that we are connected to one another as we are connected to God. God, us, and others are all in this together. That's what the parable, one of the things the parable says to me. And I'm going to use God and Christ interchangeably here. The parable is meant to shock us into awareness. Jesus isn't only a historical person who lived, healed, taught, died, forgave, and rose again. Jesus doesn't just represent a metaphorical and a theological belief system. Jesus isn't just my personal Lord and Savior who walks with me and talks with me along life's precious way, though he is that, to be sure. He is that, to be sure. But I want to tell you this morning, the parable reminds us that Jesus is out there in the world. Jesus resides among us in ways we don't always see. The parable suggests to me that Jesus, not just metaphorically, but not quite literally, but almost literally, is among us, especially among the least. Those on the margins, those who are lost or cold or hungry, you know, those who are not doing so well, those for whom the word shalom, the biblical notion that God's desires that all creation thrives, have somehow been overlooked, and Jesus is there with them. The parable reminds us to first see Jesus out there in the world, and then to respond in love to that. Most people don't see Jesus. They just see, if they see at all, we see somebody to avoid with eye contact, or we choose to not even engage on some level. The parable encourages us to see Jesus, and to not only have the courage to see that, to rejoice in that. It's interesting how our lack of awareness is a big theme in this parable, isn't it? Both the sheep and the goats are surprised at their own cluelessness. It's like, we didn't know you were there. The sheep were just operating naturally as compassionate and caring creatures. Their actions didn't seem to be about earning favor or works righteousness. It was just a part of their nature. We know people of faith like this, don't we? Or maybe we know people who don't have an articulated faith, but that we know them as compassionate people who, even though they don't see it as Jesus, are relating to the world as if it were Jesus. They would no more think of themselves as saints or heroes than they'd think of themselves as villains. They don't judge others, and they don't judge themselves. They are just living in the world and noticing and responding to the needs around them with compassion and kindness. Their focus is on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and God's justice in the world. They have awareness and an outward focus. And out of that, they live their call. The goats, likewise, are unaware in this parable, right? Their focus is blind to the needs of those around them. They are distracted by their personal cares of the world, and thus they miss the real and larger cares that surround them. Their world is too small, and we all get caught up in that trap, don't we? Their world is small. It's all about them. They, to use another parable, are the seeds that wither and die or are choked by the weeds. They are the folks who are distracted by what I call the four horsemen of the world's misery. And I don't know if that's true, it sounds poetic, but I identify it, we get distracted by greed, we get distracted by our fear, we get distracted by ignorance, and we get distracted by indifference. We just don't care. They don't see the interconnection between themselves, God, and the marginalized, because their world is too small, too personal, too limited. Their world gets reduced to things like market shares and stock options and shareholder value. They're forgetting what the end game of life really is, making sure that everyone is doing well and no one is left behind. One of my movies I remember, and I like it pretty well, it's called Lilo and Stitch. It came out a long time ago. And you remember that movie? Yeah. And Lilo is this little Hawaiian character, and she tells her alien friend Stitch that about this word ohana, which means no one gets left behind. Well, that's what I remember most about the movie, ohana. No one gets left behind. It's a good word. Kind of reminds me of shalom. So when we understand and begin to see Jesus amongst us, those who are being in those amongst those who are being left behind, we are beginning on a path of living by faith. When we begin to see the truth of our interconnection between us, our brothers and sisters, the larger creation, and God, we begin to live the journey of faith. In this sense, faith and works start to come together. There's us, there's God, there's us, and there's the least of these, those who aren't doing so well. And we're all connected according to this parable in some fashion. And now I want you to notice something else in this parable. The parable doesn't show us how the least among us are attended to. It tells us when you did this, that is, when you helped to address someone's basic human needs, you did it to Jesus. There are basically two essential ways that we attend to the needs of this world. One is charity and one is justice. Charity is relating to the immediate needs of another out of compassion and care. Charity is individual and it's very hands-on. Charity is important, but it's not enough. The other way is vital. It is working for justice. And when the Bible speaks of justice, it doesn't mean justice in the sense of vengeance or settling the score or punishment. It means making things right. It means challenging the idols of systems centered around unchecked greed and exploitation. It means engaging political powers on behalf of the poor, most assuredly with some kind of consequence and struggle and conflict, because that's always the case, and it makes us uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because it not only engages us in a conflictual situation at times, but it also requires that we examine the log in our own eyes while we seek to extract the log in those who don't yet see the sin in the systems that we are all a part of. I think Mennonites do a pretty good job of balancing charity work and justice work. But I do get frustrated when I gather with my more fundamentalist brothers and sisters whose wonderful hearts are moved by great compassionate works for charity. We are all doing wonderful, faithful work and heroic work. Yet they seem to be extremely clueless at times on the whole justice side of the equation. We're spending time plugging up holes in the dam and not working at all to improve the structure of the dam, to use another metaphor. And not to be too clever with the wordplay here, but the parable does warn us that indeed we are damned if we do not address and attend to the needs of the whole. And when the least of us are starving, we are starving. That's what the parable says. The spiritual fabric that holds together the whole is torn when right now we sit here, literally sit here today, and millions are displaced from their homes by war. And the spiritual fabric that holds together the whole is torn right now as we sit here this morning when millions are affected and soon to be affected even more by the warming of the planet that we've caused. The spiritual fabric that holds together the whole is torn when right now, as we sit here, millions of desperate and dispossessed are influenced by ideologies of hate and fanaticism, of all kinds of religious stripes, because they are angry and confused and feel no real sense of power over their lives. These are concerns for us as people of faith. The least of these. The Bible couldn't be more clear about where Jesus is to be found. When I asked Ivan about sheep, he told me that sheep, as I said, come to the voice of the Master because they know that the Master will look after them. They know by whose hand they are fed. It is paradoxical, I think, that the one who feeds us is also the one who calls us to go forth and feed others. And in doing so, we are feeding Jesus himself. It all comes around into a circle, doesn't it? God feeds us. God calls us to feed others. But God says, I am found in the others. So it's interesting to me, at least. Sheep are cared for by their master. And in gratitude, as far as the parable is concerned, the sheep look after each other. They don't in real life, of course, but in the parable they do. And though this parable is indeed a parable of warning and grave seriousness regarding judgment, the spiritually authentic motive to be compassionate and caring for the least among us cannot be attained through fear of judgment. If you're going to go out and act compassionately towards others because you are afraid of God or want God to like you better, we need to give it up. God already loves us more than we will ever know. God wants us to live and to act compassionately because God loves us. Because you are loved by God. Not because you are afraid of God, but because you are loved by God. Because you've learned to see God in all things, because you realize that your purpose on this planet is much more than just looking out for you and yours. Because you inherently know that, as Chief Seattle said so long ago, we are all a part of a great web. And what happens to that web happens to us. And what is so radical and amazing here is that Jesus reminds us that he is a part of that web too. An ad came out in Mennonite Media a number of years ago that you could put into your local paper as a way of getting your message out. And it had a picture of a man at a desk alone at the end of a long, dark hallway at night. And the title of the message was something like, "When you die, no one is going to say, 'I wish he'd worked more hours at the office.'" A reminder. Brothers and sisters, there's one more thing to notice in this parable. It seems to me that there is sort of an either-or lesson here, isn't there? Either one is a goat or one is a sheep. And I want to stress, I think we make an interpretive mistake if we go there with this. Neither you or I are all sheep or all goat. There is a bit of goat in all of us, and by the grace of God, there is a bit of sheep within us too. Right? I mean, do you read this parable the way I have in the past and gone, gosh, which am I? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Which am I? Well, I know. But as I studied this parable, I got to thinking, you know what? If I was to ask how many of you are sheep, you would raise your hand, I imagine. But if I asked how many of you are goat, you would probably also raise your hand. I want us to recognize there's a bit of sheep and goat in all of us. The point of the parable is to feed our inner sheep. My task as your preacher this morning is to encourage you in your inner sheepness. I don't do that by scaring you or haranguing you or making you feel bad or afraid. It happens by letting the parable speak for itself. It happens by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that expands our perceptions of the world, that begins to allow us to see with new eyes. The parable teaches us that the good shepherd resides among his sheep and the sheep among the shepherd. This indeed, I say, is the mystery of the gospel, and this is the good news. God amongst us. Amazing, really, to me at least, when I consider it. Let us pray. Jesus, open our hearts, open our eyes, help us to see, and give us the courage to live up to the call that you have given us. May we be your servants as we seek to serve others. Amen.